Hello and welcome back to the Growing Revolution. I'm Eric with Smart Pot Fabric Planters, and this week our guest is Michael Fiore with Smith's Garden Town in Wichita Falls, Texas. And Smith's Garden Town is a fourth generation family owned business where they're carrying a strong legacy towards an even brighter future. So on that note, Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. And we're not too far from you down here in Wichita Falls, just 2 hours from OKC. So it's good to be here. Almost feel somewhat like a local for you.
Yeah. Do you get up to Oklahoma City much?
A decent amount. We'll go through there or go up there. Just depends. Once or twice a year, maybe. There are certain things.
If you ever have time to kill, come check out our factory. We'd love to give you a tour. So, Michael, can you explain the beginnings of Smith's Garden Town and kind of get to where the current ownership now rests?
Sure. So it actually started in my great-grandfather's backyard. That's how a lot of nurseries started out. Somebody growing some plants in their backyard, and then it grows a little bit more, and eventually you need to outgrow your backyard, so you find a suitable place. Ended up finding a small retail storefront. As far as I know, the first major retail storefront they had was on Beverly Drive here in Wichita Falls, and this was well before my time, because this was back in 1949. And then after Beverly Drive, it moved over to Kemp Street, which is across from the mall in Wichita Falls, if you've ever been there. And that's where it was when I was a child, all the way up until the year 2000. And in the year 2000, Best Buy wanted to come to Wichita Falls, enter into our market. And they really liked that piece of land that the nursery was sitting on. And so my grandfather sold them the property. We tore down everything and brought it out to where we are now, which was our off-site growing facility. And so this was the farm, as it was known back then. All the plants were grown out here and then, shipped across town to the retail store. And so now we've been out at the farm, built the retail location out here, and sorry, I'm getting a phone call. It's quite distracting.
Well, the work never stops at a garden center.
I know it. We've been out here since 2000, and we have a lot more room. And it's actually pretty favorable because the town is growing our direction. So we were kind of outside of town back in the 70s when this property was purchased. Now there's houses going up all around us. A new high school is going up down the road from us. So we're sitting on 26 acres here, and it's a really turning out to be a nice spot.
Yeah, I find that the general rule of thumb is that most garden centers will start on the outskirts of town. And as the towns expand, that land becomes super valuable. So a lot of garden centers will either cash out and do something else, or they'll use that property value increase to buy a new piece of property further outside of town, and then keep growing the business. So it kind of sounds like you guys were along that path. So I was checking out some of your online reviews before the interview, and a lot of them say how beautiful Smith's Garden Town is. What can you attribute that to, and how does that affect your business?
Sure. I also didn't mention, you had asked about ownership. So currently it is owned by my mom, and she's on her way to retirement soon. And so I'm taking over operations, essentially been running operations for the last 4 or 5 years. And then we're just kind of in that transition period right now. And then back to your question about the beauty of our place, that is something that we take a lot of pride in. And, we have to be, because we're here to inspire people. We're here to give people just that thought of beauty and nature and plants. So it's something that we're constantly working towards, and we're going to be investing a lot more into in the future. So that's one of the things that I've seen as I've gone around and toured garden centers all over the country is there's a theme going on right now within the industry that garden centers are investing a lot of money into their facilities as far as creating those garden spaces, creating those walkways, creating those displays that are just going to really awe people as they come in and give them the inspiration for their own places. So it's kind of been that was something that was started by my grandfather to go back historically, is whenever he was younger, nurseries didn't look anything like they do now. So it used to be that it was just gravel and dirt. All the plants were on the floor, in the mud. And so when people would go shopping, this is back in the 60s. When people would go shopping, you know, they're having to walk through mud and slop through water and reach down and bend down to pick stuff up off the ground. You couldn't push a cart. And so he actually had this vision of why don't we do concrete walkways? Why don't we put the plants up on benches so that, you know, if a lady wants to come in here after church wearing high heels and do some shopping for plants, she's able to do that. And so back in the 60s, that was a pretty revolutionary thing that's now standard across the whole industry of garden centers. And so there was that innovation that happened back then, two generations ago. And we still try to continue that to this day to be a leader in our garden center space.
Yeah, if you're not first, you're last. I heard that quote a while back.
Ricky
And
Bobby.
that's really cool that you did a tour of other garden centers in your area. And I'm kind of surprised that more garden centers don't do that. And was there anything else that you noticed on your travels that really stuck out about how people are doing things or how you don't want to do things?
Yeah, so this summer I probably went to I would estimate 30 to 35 different garden centers in different parts of the country up in the Midwest. Did a lot of
Impressive.
traveling because I was going to different conferences. I spoke at a couple of conferences. I attended a couple of conferences.
And that's a business
And
write-off then.
along with those, did some tours just on my own, rented a car, went to see places, and then also had some invites to go to places. And then also we had some kind of organized tours through those conferences where you go as a group on a bus. And so it was just really awesome. I love our industry. I love the people. I love the owners that I get to meet and the managers I get to meet. Everyone is extremely open and friendly. And so that's one of the overarching themes is just how helpful and friendly and awesome the people in our industry are. And now, as far as facilities go, there were a few things that stood out to me. One was a lot of people have put a lot of capital investment into really good parking and good green spaces between the parking lot and the front of the building. So that way, as you pull up, you're not having to park on a gravel or a dirt pathway. You've got a nice, you know, retail parking lot. And then as you walk up to the front of the building, you're just blown away by beautiful plants in bloom, inspiration, specimen plants, ponds, water features, things like that. And then cleanliness was a huge thing that I saw. Every place that I went to, you didn't find dirt on the pathways and leaves everywhere all over the place. These places are looking nice. And that's a big inspiration to me because a lot of times when I walk around, you know, you see all these little things. Oh, we need to sweep that. We need to bring the leaf blower in here. We got to get the gravel back in where it's supposed to be, you know, all of that. And so it's always a great reminder to see that and just kind of stay on top of it because it's a big deal for people. You know, if a mom has a stroller and she's got two or three kids with her, and then she's having to bounce that stroller across a gravel walkway. Stuff's falling out of it. She's not going to want to go back there and do that. But when you have clean aisles, when you have concrete pathways, when you have good lines of sight, so your kids don't just disappear behind some, you know, display or something, it makes the mom feel safe. It makes the family, want to come back again and shop there.
Yeah, Yeah, I think the stores that are really standing out in the crowd, in my opinion, are the stores that are just killing it on the merchandising and the overall aesthetics. Some garden centers, you feel like you're walking into like a museum, in a sense. And those are the
Or like
places
a
that
Pottery Barn, type place.
literally a Pottery Barn. Awesome. What awards and designations has the store been awarded or recognized for? And are there any that stick out as something that you're especially proud of?
Over the years, I've gotten many awards, and it's almost crazy to me of all of the honors and awards that have happened. Actually, behind me, there's quite a few, starting back with my grandfather. So my grandfather got an invite to the White House. This was back in the 70s for being president of the Texas Nursery Association, which is now the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. And key to the city and all kinds of stuff back then. Now, in more modern times, back in 2011, we received the Torch Award for Excellence from the Better Business Bureau. We won a couple of years ago, Small Family-Owned Business of the Year for the northern region of Texas. We won Small Business of the Year for Wichita Falls back in 2020. I mean, there's a lot. We're voted Texoma's best garden center every year by our local newspaper or the constituents of the local newspaper. And this year, oh, also Texas Nursery and Landscape Association gave us the Gold Award, which is the top garden center for the state of Texas with in the over $1 million a year category. That was last year that we won that one. This year, I won Young Retailer of the Year for North America. And so that is put on by the Garden Center Group and Green Profit Magazine. They take nominations and then go through a judging process of who's going to be the finalists and then eventually the winner for North America. So that was a really big honor for me. This year
Definitely.
was I got to receive that at Cultivate in Ohio in July, and then I was on the cover of Green Profit Magazine for this month's edition. So
That's a big honor, and congratulations for that. And you didn't get that for no reason. Like, you are just really all over social media, and doing cool things. Now, is your nursery doing any live classes, or I see a lot of online content that you guys put out. Are you doing any live classes or events?
we are getting some of those on the schedule for this fall again. We currently do not have a dedicated event space in our store for live events. So generally, whenever we do a workshop or class or seminar, we will find empty places in the greenhouse and host them there because we don't have like a classroom where we can host those events. And so the downside to hosting those events in the greenhouse is in the summertime, it's very hot in the greenhouses. And so we just totally quit hosting in-person classes and events during summer. And then now that the weather's cooling off, we've got some greenhouse space where we can host those events again. So we're going to be putting some of those on our schedule. But mostly what we do is digital content throughout every day of the year. In fact, we post a new video every day. So we're creating just tons and tons of digital content that is mostly focused on education.
How are you determining what you're covering in your videos? Because every time I see a video, I'm just blown away by the fact that it's like something new, fun, or interesting that just has me glued to the screen.
That is the ideas part is me. I'm a very much an ideas person, and I come up with video ideas or inspiration all the time, and I keep a running list on my phone. So I might just be walking around or even driving. I'll see something and say, "Hey, I should make a video about that." And what's cool about our industry is everything is interesting, I think, it's to most people. It's not like some job where you're pushing paper and it's just boring, stuck inside of a cubicle. Nature and plants are beautiful. They're fascinating. And there's millions of different types of plants. And so the content is just, it's infinite, the amount of content you can make regarding plants. And so I love that about our industry as well, about my job. And so I'm good at coming up with the ideas. Where I'm bad at is executing and following through and being consistent. And you're like, wait, but you produce a new video every day. Seems pretty consistent, right? That part's not me. So I hired someone that does the consistency part for me. So we brought in a social media manager who works in-house with us. So she's an hourly employee. Her name's Felicia. And we brought her in whenever I wanted to really, 2 years ago, I really wanted to do a big push on social media and create a lot more video content. I knew I wasn't going to be the one because I hate editing videos. It's just so tedious to me. I can't stand it. I can do it, but I hate it. And so, so I hired someone that was already doing it, already good at it. She was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And so when her kids would go to school, she had some time to work up here. And because of her consistency, we release a new video every day because she will walk up to me and put a microphone in my hand and say, I need 3 videos from you today. And I just have to figure out how to get it done because, you got a million other things going on in business. And so because I have her holding me accountable, we get it done.
How long has Smith's Garden Town been carrying smart pots for? And is there any feedback or especially popular sizes that you carry and sell?
We've had smart pot for a long time. I actually took a break from the company for about 10 years. And I came back over eight years ago. And we've had smart pots throughout that whole time. So I would say we've probably been carrying you guys for 10 years, maybe longer. And primarily the pots themselves. That's what we started with. I think we started with, the aquatic planters. We started with, the 7-gallon and 15-gallon size planters. A few years later, we moved into the raised beds, the round raised beds, I think were the first ones you guys made, where you could unfold them and fill them. We've carried, I want to say pretty much almost every SKU that you guys offer, throughout the years. And, the planters are good. They are, they're growing in popularity again. These things, gardening tends to have trends and cycles throughout it. Certainly there'll be times when fabric beds or fabric pots are all the rage. It seems like people kind of stop talking about them for a while. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're talking about them again. And I've seen that there are even some copycat companies out there that are starting to produce similar products too. And so it's like it's on the upswing again whenever you see those people imitating you. And and it just goes to show that it is a good concept and a good product. So,
well, we definitely appreciate your support and all the dealers out there who carry our products. We couldn't do it without you guys. So,
we're due for a reorder, by the way. So,
yeah. kind of a fun question to wrap up here. If you weren't working at Smith's Garden Town in another life, what would you see yourself doing?
Well, I would probably be doing something outdoors related. That's what I went to school for, actually. I grew up working in the business, but I did not think this would ever become my profession. And so for a while, I thought I was going to be a professional fisherman, whether that be a tournament fisherman or potentially a guide. When I went to school, I actually studied wildlife and fisheries, was thinking maybe I would be in parks department or a game warden. I went to Texas A&M, and the game wardens recruit really heavily out of that department. So I ended up having several friends go into that line of work. And I'm sure I would probably be doing something related to animals and outdoors if I weren't in the plant world.
Makes sense. Michael, this has been a really great interview, despite my low internet connection speed. It's really windy here today, so that might have something to do with it.
Yes.
how can people find you online and on social media?
Smith's Garden Town. As far as I know, we're the only Smith's Garden Town. And Garden Town is one word. So across all platforms, if you look for that handle, we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and our website. TikTok is our largest platform as far as following. We've got about, I don't know, 143,000 followers on there. Facebook is really big for us as well, with over 50,000 followers on there. And we post, like I said, daily content on all of those sites. Instagram and Facebook have their own content. TikTok has its own content. There's some overlap there as well. But we're pretty easy to find online because we're kind of everywhere online.
Yeah, and you're blowing up. I always see you in my feed every day. So on that note, Michael, looking forward to hopefully meeting you in person and hopefully seeing Smith's Garden Town in person down the road. Thank you very
Sure.
much for your time and joining us today.
Thanks, Eric.